because we left off yesterday, trying to really develop the ABCs in terms of Suffolk and Mammon. Let's just review quickly the Klalim that we're familiar with now and see how it's going to play out in terms of our Sugya, in terms of other Sugyas in Shas. So the starting point is when you have a Suffolk Mammon, it was a major machlokes between Simchas and the Rabbanon, what our approach should be. So the Rabbanon invoked a principle called Zek Klal Gadol B'Din. You always follow Muchsuk. That's it. Possession is 9.9999% of the law, and therefore, everyone, according to the Chachamim, any and every case is going to follow Muchsuk. That's the end of the story. And Sukkah says, no, not so fast. At least under certain circumstances, and we haven't even fine-tuned Sukkah yet, but at least under certain circumstances, there's going to be a principle called Mamana Mutu B'Safi Cholkin. Then, we went one step further and pointed out from Sefer Gemara that even according to the Chachamim, who are not big believers of Mamana Mutu B'Safi Cholkin, do concede that sometimes that is true. The sometimes being in the absence of Muchsuk. So, but Medvam Amurim, that the Chachamim deny Simchus, that's when you have a situation Muchsuk to speak of. But if there's no Muchsuk, and even the Chachamim throw their hands up and say, Lays Breira Mamana Mutu B'Safi Cholkin. Then at the very end of the Shia, we also pointed out from a Gemara in Maseches of Metzia that there are almost like two forms of Muchsuk. And I said that with a little bit of a hesitation. I'm going to try to clarify that as we go on. There are two kinds of Muchsuk that the Chachamim are looking to see. If either one of these two are present, then Mamana Mutu B'Safi doesn't apply. One of them is Muchsuk Mamish. I'm wearing the jacket. I have the animal in my barn. That's the real Mukwad Muchsuk. Then you have what's called Cheskes Marakama. Cheskes Marakama means that the animal used to belong to me. Right now, the animal's running around out there in the forest. But we know for a fact that an hour ago, the animal was present in my Rishus. So the Gemara calls that Cheskes Marakama. The Gemara Mavitzia says, that's also enough to avoid applying the principle of Mamana Mutu B'Safi Cholkin. So again, so we really have almost like two different characters here. We have to first identify, are we in the world of Sumchus or in the world of the Rabbanan? And we're most probably going to spend the time in the world of the Rabbanan, that's the majority opinion. But even in the world of the Rabbanan, you can have three different dinner Torah. You can have a case of Muchsuk, so the Muchsuk wins, once for Raya. You can have a case of Cheskes Marakama. Cheskes Marakama wins, the game's over. Or in the absence of both, then even the Rabbanan can discuss the possibility of Mamana Mutu B'Safi Cholkin. So it's with that background. Now let's go to a Gemara, the fourth of the Marmakamos. It's Gemara in Baba Basra. We hopefully at some point as the year goes on, we're going to move from the first parak to the third parak. So this is going to be a Gemara that's going to constantly come up in many, many of our discussions. That's the sugya in the fourth parak of Baba Basra. A very, very strange din. It's a Gemara in Baba Basra, Labadal Rabbeis. Zeo Meshal Avaisai, Vizeo Meshal Avaisai. Two people are fighting about land. I claim this land belonged to my father for generations. And you claim that this land belonged to your father for generations. The problem is, nobody has any witnesses. Nobody has any proof. Nobody has anything. It's my word against yours. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Kol de Olam Gvar. Whoever is stronger wins. Now, that's a little bit of a startling statement. It sounds like the wild, wild west. I could beat you up and get the land. So you have to hold off. I can't tell you for certain when we're going to get to Mavasa Lavadal Rav Beis. We're pretty close to the May-June time of the year. But hopefully, eventually, at some point, we'll get to a little bit more about Kodah Olam. But there is such a principle in Allah called Kodah Olam. So comes the Gemara and questions this principle of Kodah Olam. And we're going to skip down in that Marmach to the third of the third line. Umayshna. Yes, the Gemara. Umayshna be'adisnan. How could Rav Nachman tell us that if we don't know what to do, so we just let them fight it out? Why is that any different than the following Mishnah? Machli par b'chamor v'yolda, chenemochesh v'chasa v'yolda, ze'al me'ash v'chayat v'yolda, ze'al me'ash v'chayat v'yolda. Sounds familiar. This is yesterday's case, where I'm flipping with you a donkey for a cow. I made a kinyan on the donkey. At the moment that I acquired the donkey, you acquired the cow. Problem is, we don't know when that moment was, and we have no idea whether the cow had given birth before or after. So we have a suffix mamon on the calf. And what does the Mishnah say? Yachlaiku. So yes, the Gemara, how could Rav Nachman say, when you have a suffix mamon, you say, called the Olam Gvar, what happened to Yachlaiku? What happened to that Mishnah in Maseches Bava Metzia? Ad kan kushes a Gemara. So I cut the Gemara short on purpose. I don't want to get to the end of the Gemara yet. I mean, maybe we'll get to that hopefully down the line. But I just want to focus for a moment on the questions. The Gemara is looking at these two didim, saying these two didim don't fit. These two didim contradict one another. Rav Nachman's taking on a Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a Suffolk Mammon, and the Mishnah says Yachloiku. And Rav Nachman's talking about a Suffolk Mammon and saying Chol Yol Udar. Rav Isai, forget about the answer to the Gemara. What's problematic with the question of the Gemara? What is going on in the Gemara's question? The Gemara brought this Mishnah of Amach Lepar V'Chabor as the klal. This is it. You, Rav Nachman, you're an Amora. You have to answer to this Mishnah of Amach Lepar V'Chabor. Wait a second. This Mishnah is not even Lehalacha. This Mishnah doesn't even make it into Shulamach. Because what does this Mishnah say? We have a suffix on the Vlad. What does the Halacha say? Yachleiku. That's not the Rabbanan speaking. That's not our language. That's the Tana Simchus. So why in the world is a Stam Gemara, Baba Basa Lama Dalin, invoking a Mishnah that clearly is Shalek Halacha? The Mishnah clearly is not in sync with the regular rules, with the views of the Chachamim. But you don't say, Mamun Lukum Safi Chalkin. But this is not my question. This is Tosa's observation. So if you take a look at the fifth of the Mamakamos, so Tosa spells out in the next three lines everything we've been talking about for the last 2 days. It says Tosas and Baba Basalam and Heman Aleph. Umayishtab Hadisnan, Ein Lochiach Mikan, the Aloha Kisumchus, with the Parach Minei. Don't go down the following route, says Tosas. Don't get any ideas in your head. Don't think, ooh, the Gemara is asking a Kasha from the Stam Mishnah. And we already remember from Baba Tzir Daf Kuf that this Mishnah, Sumchus speaking, Araya, that we pass like Sumchus. Don't say this, says Tosas, screaming, don't do that, don't do that. Why did Tosas get so defensive? Don't do that. Somebody did it. You know who did it? The Rashbam did it. The Rashbam and Baba Basra says, by the way, we pass like Sumchus. Just a big surprise. Tosha says, no way, not true. Tosha says, it can't be. Nobody except for the Rashbam passes like Sumchus. So Im Kain, why does the Gemara bring a Rai from a Mishnah that's clearly Sumchus? So it comes to us with the following. The Ad Kan lo pligya lehasa b'sho'el. When do the Chachamim disagree with Sumchus in that Mishnah Machli Bar B'chamor? That's because there's a cheskes mamon. Either because the calf is sitting in somebody's rishus, or because there was an original owner. We know that the original owner of the cow, who he was, the reason why the Chachamim don't accept that Mishnah is because there's cheskes barakama. Halavochi, but if there's no muksuk and there's no cheskes barakama, even the Chachamim agreed to Sumchus. So what we just said outside at the beginning of the year, we set up this model that the Rabbanim don't entirely negate Sumchus' idea of Mamon Mutum Safek Chalkin. They just put the brakes on it. They say it doesn't apply all the time. Either Muksuk or Cheses Bar Kama is going to unravel Mamon Mutum Safek Chalkin. But if there's no Muksuk and no Bar Kama, so in Ochinami, everybody agrees. That's exactly why the Gemara asked the Kasha of Lamedalit. Why is Rav Nachman say called it Olam Gvar? What happened to Yachloku? Again, we don't know the answer to that question yet. We have no idea where called it what and who called it Olam Gvar. How does that fit into our model of things? But our model is definitely correct. At this point, we're just following footsteps of the Baal Yom Tov that Sumchus and Rabbanan had a machlokes, but even the Rabbanan can see the Sumchus in the absence of Muksub or the absence of Cheses Bar Kama. But I want to take this now to the next step and really try to fine-tune a little bit. What does that mean? There's no muksuk. What does that mean? There's no marakama. What exactly do those terms mean? If and when do we fall back on Mamon Mutum Safek Chalkin, we have to understand a little bit better just when exactly that applies. What are the parameters of that statement? So if you haven't noticed yet, we're jumping a lot between Baba Tzir and Baba Basra. In the days of Chazal, that wasn't called the jump. It was called one big Masech. It was called Masech of the Zikin. They had Rachmanis and the Yeshivas because no Boch is ever going to make a Siyam. It's 300 and plus Dafim. So the Leis and the Amoraim, they split up the three different parts. But the Ikaron, it's the same Masech. It's just a lot of Dinamam. It's just jumping all over the place. So let's see if we can learn together a Sugya in the sixth of the Maramakamos. And perhaps this Sugya is going to shed a little bit more light to find a little bit finer for us what some of these principles are all about. So it's a Mishnah, the sixth of Amor. It's a fairly famous Mishnah. When I spoke about it in Shir, Yeshiva the other day, so I asked the question. I asked, who here in my Shir either went to SAR or to Noam? The boys were like taking it about, like, why, what's the common denominator? So the common denominator is very simple. I went to SAR, elementary school. And at SAR, the minhag was for 50 years, they learned Perek HaMafkid in 8th grade. If I'm not mistaken, I think, am I right? The kids in Noam, I think they still learn in Noam, they also learn HaMafkid, no, right? They did, I think so. So I think they follow whatever the SAR model was, because Rabbi Hagler was trained in SAR. So I think he followed the model of I think, Tulsa Shachar in 6th grade, 7th grade was Avram Sochem, if I'm not mistaken. I think in 8th grade was a Mafkid. So half my share, a lot of Tinek boys, a lot of the boys raised their hands. So I said, I still remember learning this when back way, way, way back in 8th grade. So in the 6th of the Mamakamas, a Mafkid eats a Chadero, Behema Okelim. So the Mishnah talks about the following. I give you a pikadon. I give you something to watch. Either I give you an animal or I give you vessels to watch. The nignivu osha avdu. And the animal or the item, whatever, the kli, whatever it was stolen or it got lost. So we already see a mafkid shomer shaila beginning to develop. Shilev lo ratzot l'shomer. You as a shomer decide that you're going to pay when you decide. Don't you have to pay? Not necessarily. If you were a shomer chinam, then you don't really have to pay. If you are watching without getting paid in the first place, then the Pesukim of Parshas Mishpatim tell us that a shomachinam is potter on Geneva via Veda. But you wanted to go the extra mile. You decided to pay out of the goodness of your heart. You could have gone off scot-free, but you decided to pay anyway. And now what happens is as follows. So here, I'm the mafkid, you're the shomer. I give him an animal to watch. The animal gets stolen, they come to Beis Din, you decide to write me a check, you pay me for the animal, and then a month later, the Ganav gets caught. Now there's some money to be made, a little bit of profit to be made here. The Ganav got caught, and the Ganav now has to pay Kefil, Shnai Mishalim, plus the Pasha Mishpatim. Who does he pay the Kefil to? So who would you think, if you didn't read this Mishnah, if you didn't go to 8th grade, who would you think gets the Kefil? I would say, the owner of the animal. Bridget, he's the owner of the animal, why should he get the Kefil? Comes the Mishnah and says, no, it's not true. Nimtza ganav mishalim tashlumei kefil tavach umacha mishal tashlumei bechmisha lemi mishalim lemi shepikad etzlow. You pay not to the mafkid, not to the owner. You pay to the shomer, the one who had the animal at the time that it was stolen. Basically, what just the Mishnah just described is that the shomer was kona the rights to this kefil. He acquired the rights to the kefil by paying for the animal. That's the first Mishnah in Bavmasiyah. Now, truth to be told, this Mishnah, this halach is very, very difficult on technical grounds. Nothing to do with our discussion right now. It's a very, very difficult Mishnah, and that's actually the first sugya in Berakah Mafkid. How did that happen exactly? How in the world, halachically, what were the mechanics of acquiring kefil? What do those words mean? I paid you $100, the value of the animal, and now next week I get entitled to the extra, and then I get 200 back from the Ghana. What did I buy? I bought the kefil. The boy said, what is the kefil? The kefil is a davar, shelo bali olam. It doesn't exist yet. I can't buy something that doesn't exist. I'm going to go to you and I'm going to say, I'm going to give you $500 and I'm going to buy the fruit that hasn't grown yet. What does it mean? It's a davar shelo bali olam. You can't buy such a thing. I'm going to buy the kefil that doesn't exist. That's meaningless. So the Gemara is a whole razzle dazzle. No. It doesn't mean that I bought the kefil. It means it's a zoy. I bought the animal vis-a-vis the kefil. Whoa, another story. I didn't really buy the kefil. I can't buy the kefil. I can buy the animal concerning the kefil. It's like Lamashal. If I go to you and I say, I want to buy next year's crop of apples, it's a meaningless statement. What I can do is, I want to buy your fruit. I'm sorry. I want to buy your tree vis-a-vis the rights to having the crops of next year's crop. I don't want to buy the whole tree itself. I only want next year's apples. I don't want the tree of the other one. I'm not interested in cutting down the wood. I don't want the tree. I just want the tree concerning the rights. That's what's called an halacha dekel peiros, and that the halacha does recognize. So the Gemara says that's what's going on over here. That when I give the $100 as the shomer, I'm buying the rights of the animal vis-a-vis to collect the kefil potentially at some later point. So the Gemara irons out the details, the technical issues of davar shelo bali olam. It's still very, very complicated because when exactly is the item being sold? When I pay the money, so when I give the money, but that animal's not around anymore. The animal was already stolen. You can't sell something that's stolen. That's what's called a davar she'eino b'reshuso. Somebody steals my animal, and then I want to go to sell that animal to a third party. I don't have the koach to do that in the moment. So obviously the sale must have taken place before the theft occurred. So what happened exactly? So the Gemara works really hard. every time I give you an animal, it's with a built-in understanding, somewhere in the fine print, in the bottom of page 16, at the bottom of the contract. So there's this understanding, it's not literally in print, but it's an understanding that if and when I pay for the animal, it's as if I bought the animal leperos from the moment of the original Mesiris Abahema. Well, very, very complicated. So the Gemara will mamash like acrobatic feat to try to figure out how that Hakadosa Kefal took place. The Maisa was. Chareichleis go, Zoyshtet and Tanoim, Zoyshtet and Mishnah. There is such a concept called Hakadosa Kefal. So the Gemara doesn't let us go on this. The Gemara starts to collect a whole array of strange, bizarre scenarios to see what would the halacha say about the following. Would this suffice to apply this halacha or not? So you take a look at the seventh of the Marmakomos. It's very, very long. It's like an interplay between Maseches Bamitzia and Maseches Ksubis. The seventh of the Ramakamos, Shom in Aisha Vishilem Labai Labai. What if I borrowed an animal? I took an animal from a woman. Now the woman's married. So that opens up a whole new story. Who owns her property? Nechse Malug and Nechse Tzom Barzel and property she brought in for the Ksubis. It's very, very complicated. So there is a certain relationship between the husband and the wife vis-a-vis property she brings into the marriage. So if she brings in an animal to the marriage, so she still maintains ownership on the guf habehema, but he's what's called the baal echel peiros. He gets to eat the fruit. Again, these are sugyas in Maseches Ksubis, where Chazal set it up dafka this way. It's for her benefit and for his benefit. The Mishnayos tell us in Milu Maseches Ksubis that Chazal set up a whole pattern of halachas that to make sure that financially everybody is safe. So he has to give her certain things, she has to give him certain things. So the Mishnayos and the Gemara and Ksubis explain, let's say, Lamashal, he's obligated to pay for her food. On the other hand, any Maisi and Dayim, she brings in a salary, so the money goes to him. Or he's obligated to pay for her medical bills. On the other hand, if other things happen, she has to give that money to him. So now, the Gemara says that many of these takonas, they were made litovas ha'isha, they were actually made to protect the woman more than to protect the man. And therefore, the Gemara says, what if the woman says to the husband, I don't do many favors. I don't need your protection. Baruch Hashem, I'm doing quite well financially. I'd like to keep my salary and I'll buy my own food. So that's the word says, Omel Ameris the Baal Ein Mizunis Veini El Seshalullah. It was a day that the kind of was made for her benefit. You don't have to be yourself back into a mindset. Women in the olden days did not bring in all that much money. And therefore, Chazal were concerned that the husband may not live up to his obligations. So they wanted to make it a little bit, equal, a little bit of an incentive that the husband, financial incentive, he would make sure to take care of his wife in a particular manner. If she decides to forego that privilege, that's perfectly okay. So, yeah, this is part of those whole sugyas and ksubas, that when a woman brings property into the marriage, so the husband has certain rights to that property. On the other hand, she retains certain rights to that property. So now you have a mother shayla, a strange shayla. You have this animal that a third party is now watching, he borrowed, is watching from the woman. Now when he pays, when the animal gets stolen, he didn't pay the woman, he pays the husband. So is that called pay for or not? So that's a very, very fine line to the mother shayla. Normally, mafkin and shomer, it's very clear. I borrow the animal, I'm washing the animal, I pay the owner of the animal. That's how I acquire the rights to the kefil. Here, I didn't quite pay the owner of the animal. I paid the husband, who's the quasi-owner of the animal. So the Gemara is a whole shayla. Or the other way around, Isha shayla v'shilim ba'ilamai. The other way around, a woman borrows an animal, she's watching it, and now the husband pays on her behalf. So the Gemara is very, very doctristic, very, very fine line questions. And the Gemara throws up its hand and says, take it. We don't know what to do. Now, again, we're not learning about Batsia right now for the purposes of that. So yeah, we had to familiarize ourselves a little bit with the principles behind it. But the most important word for us is the last word. That's the word taker. Right, right. So the animal itself is going to go back to the original owner, but it's the extra $100 of kefil that we're interested in, right? But the shomer didn't acquire the animal itself. He acquired the animal vis-a-vis the rights of kefil. Well, he's going to get his money back, and he's going to better than that, right? He's going to make $100 on the deal, right? He's going to get reimbursed for paying back the original $100 of the animal for sure, and then he's going to walk away with an extra $100, right? So if you want a good business venture, you know, want something, get it stolen. And right. So again, the most important word for us now is the word taken. The Gemara just identified that this is a suffix, and we don't know what to do. So let's play this out in Beis Din. This is exactly what happened. One of these crazy cases, Shomer Isha, Shomer Baila, etc. The person, the Ganav gets caught. A week later, this kefa now being brought in. So the Ganav's sitting there with his checkbook, basically standing over and saying, okay, please write a $100 check for kefel. To who? Was there hakanosa kefel or was there not hakanosa kefel? This kind of funny paying for kefel, did this qualify as a purchasing of the kefel? Was this called shomer sheshila lamafkit or not? Marsateka, we don't know. So what do you do? Now we have $100 sitting here, and we don't know where do we put this $100. We got two fifties. Guy's holding two $50 bills in his hands. Where do we put? Whose hand do we now put this $100 into? Do we give it to the shomer or do we give it to the mafkid? So comes the Rosh in the eighth of the Mamakomas and makes reference to the Shita Sarif. Utmiyali of Alphas. It's a pella on the riff. What's the pella? Shikosov, the riff writes in this sugya. Shikosov Khan, the Kaimalon Mamana Mutabasafi Cholkin. The riff's job was to write the final Pesach Halacha. That's what the riff tried to do in his Hilchos HaRif. So the riff quotes the Gemara, says, take on the riff, says, and therefore we are sitting on the Din Torah. What do we do? How do we basket? Cholkin. One of the $50 bills goes to the Shomer, one goes to the Mafkid and Shalom Yisrael. That's what the riff said. So comes the Russian, says, what? How could the riff say such a thing? The riff just says that Kaimel and Mamon Abutu Mustafa Cholkin, that sounds very much like Sumchus. Does that mean to say that the Rif paskins like Sumchos? Really? Can't be, says the Rosh, but that's a Rif. We're paying Shosh Nachas Apara, Pasuk Kirabonim. But in Perek Apara, it's not a great surprise what Perek that is. That was the fifth Perek of Baba Kama. That was the Shosh Nachas Aparim's Uba Betzida. That was the case of yesterday, where my ox gores your cow, and that was there's a dead fetus on the ground. We're trying to figure out Chayav HaPater. So in that sugya, the machlek isubkus in the rabbanon, that was the original machlek isubkus in the rabbanon, that very mishnah, and via the riff says, guess what? We pass it like the chachamim. So the rush just got the riff in a stira, just got a contradiction in the riff. The riff in Baba Kama paskin straight out kirabbanon that you don't say mamon mutabu safek, whereas the riff in Baba Metzia says the kaimalon mamon mutabu safek chalkin. So the efshar. So comes the Rosh and says, I'm going to give you a possibility with Asa Rif, and this is really going to be the segue into our discussion. Efshar, the Gabi Kefel, like a Chazaka. Hilkos Lekuliyam Acholkin. Says the Rosh, but Asa Rif, maybe our case in Hamafkin of Kefel is the case where the Chacham concede to Sumchus. Because let's focus on the Kefel for a second. The Ganav is standing in Beis Din with two $50 bills. Who's the muchsuk on this kefil? The Ganav's holding, he's for sure not getting it. So the Ganav has to pay the kefil. We have two parties here potentially eligible to the kefil. There's the mafkir and there's the shomer. Who's the mufkir on that kefil? Who's the muchsuk on that kefil? Neither the mafkir nor the shomer is holding on to anything. So that kefil is something that's up in the air. It's a momon hamutal besafek without a muchsuk. That's exactly what it is. So guess what? So the Rosh is exactly what Taisa said about Kol Yom Gvar. But we said 20 minutes ago, when I'm screaming it's my land, you're screaming it's your land. So the Gemara said, it should have been Cholkin. So Frek Taisa says, why Cholkin? We don't follow Sumchus. Answer Tosis, but there's no Mursuk. When there's no Mursuk, everybody agrees that's Cholkin. So says the Rosh, maybe that's what the Rif meant. So the Epsher, the Rif got an Epsher out of the Rosh. The Epsher, they got a Kefa, Lake Chazak, Kuliyam Cholkin. So comes the Rosh and says, it's a nice pshat. It's potentially valid pshat, but I don't think it's correct. Why is it wrong? So first of all, the Rosh says, textually, it doesn't fit into the Rif's words. Aval ein l'shono mashmakein. What was the mashmos of the Rif? Midik ha'amar. If you look at that Rif, the Rosh is calling the Rif verbatim. Midik ha'amar, t'kaimalon. When the Rif writes the conclusion of the Gemara of Metzia about what do you do when you have the Safa Kefel, the Rif writes, you split it because we hold the kaimalon mamon mutar b'safek cholkin. That phrase, the kaimalon, is reserved for a case where there's a machlokes. And the Tanaim are fighting it out. And now the Rif saying, oh, by the way, we paskin X, Y, and Z. This is not a the kaimalon. This is the kulei alma. Remember we showed from the Gemara, from the Taisim, that when there's no muchsuk, there's no machlokes. Everyone agrees that it's mamon mutar b'safek cholkin. So the lashon that the Rif used was inaccurate. To say the kaimalon moment of the Rif should have said is something along the following. You want to know why I'm writing Cholkin? Because even though the kaimalon not moment of the Cholkin, But Hocham Mayaskina, there's no Muksach, and therefore Bechi Hagab Nekuliyam Alopligi. That would have been what the Rif should have expressed. The words of the Kaimelon are very, very misleading. So that's what we call a textual, you know, attack against this pshat. So with the Ka'amah, the Kaimelon must be completely to Pasuk by the Mechotim, the Ode. But now the Rush comes up with a halachic objection to this pshat. The Ode Nire. Devadai Chazoka Ika. Says the Rush, wait a second. There's no Chazoka here. There's no Muksak here. Let's be very, very careful. Kevin the Mesafkulon, the Akli Behema Likfela. Uki Behema Becheskas Be'aleha Flohiknalo. What's the real suffix? The real suffix is not about the $50, about the $250s. What's the suffix? The suffix was there a Knas HaBehema Likfela? That's the real Shaila. We don't know whether paying the man for the woman's property, does that constitute an acquisition of the animal vis-a-vis kefil? That's the real suffix. So the latest of suffix says the Rush, you have to identify the suffix properly. The latest of suffix is chal, not on the $250 bills. The latest of suffix is licked in the behemoth. The behemoth is omedis besuffix. Who was the previous owner of this behemoth? We know who the previous owner of the behemoth was. It was the mafkid. For the last 10 years, it's been the mafkid. We have a latest sofek. Did ownership vis-a-vis kefil transfer from the mafkid to the shomer? Says the Rush, that's an example of a moment mutl b'sofek, not with muksuk, but with what? With the cheskes marakama. And whenever you have either muksuk or cheskes marakama, ayin v'betziyah daf kuf, that was yesterday's year, either one of those two things is going to undermine the ability to say moment mutl b'sofek chokin. So the Chachamim agreed to Sumchus if both things are absent. There's no Muksuk and there's no Cheskes Baruch Hama. Then the Chachamim concede to Sumchus. But if either one of those two principles are present, Ayin Vavitziyah Daf Kuf, then the game's over. You don't say Cholkin. So ask the Rosh. This case is a classic example of a Cheskes Baruch Hama. We don't have, there's no Muksukos on the Behemah. The Behemah was stolen. The Behemah is sitting around, the Behemah is in the Ganav's barn right now. So there's no Muksuk on the Behemah. But there is a cheskes marakama on the behema, and since the latest of sofek is lying in the behema, the cheskes marakama should give money to the mafkid b'teretz v'adah. It's no longer mamon mutl b'sofek chokin. That's the Rush's cash against the Rif. So says the Rush. He says no. Hilchosah Rabbanan says the Rush. The correct conclusion of this gemara should be teku, and therefore you get nothing. The shomer gets nothing. Because Cheskes Baruch Hama dictates that the animal was the mafkids and remains the mafkids, they'll prove it otherwise. No, it's that general, any mafkid in Shemim. So Rabbi said, when we extracted from the sugya, it really highlighted the following nekudas. That all the klalim are right. Every klal that we said so far in the last 2 days, it seems to be correct. It was machlokes simchas in the Rabbanan. That machlokes, the Rishonim qualified based on the Gemaras, was only true when there's neither muksuk nor cheskes marakama. The presence of either one of those two will undermine or unravel the principle of chokin, of mamon b'sofek chokin. The point now of contention between the Rif and the Rosh is, what is the status of this case of Shomer Ish and Tzedek, this case of Kedusha Kefil? So the Rosh says, what do you mean with this status? This is a classic cheskes marakama. No one's going to cash this. This is partial cheskes marakama. And for some mysterious reason, the Rif doesn't seem to think that. For some mysterious reason, the Rif seems to think that maybe this case of Kedusha Kefil is falling short of being a Cheskes Baruch Hama. Maybe this really does qualify as a moment of Sofi Chokin. Now we have a potential point of contention, potential machlokes here between the Rif and the Rush. How do you fine tune what's called yes Cheskes Baruch Hama? What's called no Cheskes Baruch Hama? The Rush sounds like he's right. The mafkid did own the animal. It sounds like this cheskes baruch hama. What is behind the shittas Rif? Why does the Rif refuse to label this as a cheskes baruch hama? And because he refuses to label it as such, therefore he's free to go down the route of mamon mutl b'sofek chokin. There's some kind of a chalek there between the lines, between the Rif and the Rush. So hopefully, mitzvah Shem on Friday, we're going to come back to this. So assuming all the klum, we hope are right. They seem to be borne out with all the Rishonim, all the sugyas of the Gemara. But now we have to fine tune a little bit. Does this or does that qualify as Cheskes Baruch Hama? We're going to open up our eyes in terms of some more of these klalim about where and how do you go, how do you navigate these waters of mamon mutl b'sofek.
Oh, Rabbi, thanks.
Great, okay, take care. Call this everyone.
state.